Good morning. Welcome to our Tuesday morning devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. I'm going to be talking and praying this week about fulfilling God's commandment, His instructions, His commission that we go. And so each day we'll talk and pray a little bit about what that means, kind of unwrapping Matthew 28, primarily verses 18 and 20. This passage, this instruction that we often refer to as the Great Commission, God sending out His followers, the disciples, to make disciples. And our responsibility and our response to what that looks like in our life. And today we want to talk and pray specifically about going everywhere. Or flip it around about being that disciple maker everywhere that you go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 says, "As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, to give a little context and background, Matthew 9, at the end of that chapter, Jesus asked His disciples to pray, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, I've often looked at that and taught about this interaction. And I have to assume, if I was one of the disciples and Jesus came and asked me to pray about something specific, that I would do it. We tend to do that for the people we love, for the people that we know. Someone gives me a request and says, "Can you pray with me about this? Can you pray for me?" I generally do that. And so as Jesus asked His disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, I suspect that they did just that. They prayed. Now, one of the things that when I do teaching specifically on prayer, it was taught to me, it's a scriptural principle, and we're going to talk about that today, is when you pray, you really need to be open to God using you as part of that answer. When you pray for a person in need, perhaps you're the one to meet that need. When you pray for those that are suffering, perhaps you're the one that will take them comfort and help. When you pray for those that are lost, be prepared to share Jesus. And so, after this ending of Matthew 9, the disciples, I suspect, prayed and obeyed Jesus, asked the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Matthew 10 opens with, guess what? Jesus sending out the disciples to go into the villages, the surrounding areas. And He says, "As you go, take this message, preach this message, tell people that the kingdom of God is near." And so this morning, we're going to be talking about this aspect of taking the message of Jesus everywhere we go. When Jesus gives that great commission, those that are smarter than I in regard to studying original languages will tell me that the command in the verse is to make disciples. It's not so much go, but the wording has to do with as you go, make disciples. In other words, if business calls you to this place, make disciples at this place. If business calls you to that place, make disciples at that place. If your recreational pursuits calls you here, then make disciples here. If life calls you there, then make disciples there. As you go, don't forget Jesus. Proclaim this message. Teach. Share. Represent. And so we have to ask ourselves that question, I think, every day. It seems like a silly question almost. Where am I? And I know we get that and we joke about that and we laugh about that. And we think, well, of course I know where I'm at. But okay, if I'm at a specific spot, what am I doing to share Jesus? And when we begin to realize that this applies wherever we go, that it's not simply something that is designated a specific spot, when I was traveling quite a bit, and specifically to college campuses to pray with campus ministry staff and to encourage them, I discovered that many campuses would have a spot designated that people could stand up, and in today's terms, I think they call it a free speech spot or something to that nature. But you were allowed as a student, as a visitor, as anyone on campus to stand in that spot and say whatever you wanted. And it reminds me of Paul's coming and discovering idols to everything imaginable, and even an idol to an unknown God, and standing up and saying, wait a minute. You're listening to all of this stuff. You're wearing yourself out with knowledge about nonsense. Let me explain to you about this unknown God. And there were the, and I think specifically of a campus in Fort Collins, Colorado. And there were those that would stand there and share Jesus. And some would do it in ways that drew listeners. Some would do it in ways that drew more hecklers than listeners. And then there were those that would stand and promote anything and everything else. And whether their methods were things I would use, whether they were things that were appropriate, whether they were things that were effective, I wasn't there long enough to really evaluate that. But what struck me is that there were individuals that seemed to take seriously this idea of sharing the gospel everywhere they went. Now, we know, at least hopefully we know, that it often requires more than words. In fact, sometimes it's our words that get us into trouble because the people look at us and they don't see the results. It would be like me being a spokesman for a fitness company. People would look at me and they would kind of expect better results than what my life appears to have. And I'm guessing it would not attract a lot of people that want to take fitness much more seriously than I tend to take it. And Jesus says our responsibility, our commission as his disciples, as those who follow him, is that we would take the message of the kingdom of God everywhere we go, that we would share it by the way we live, we would share it by the way we speak, we would share it by the way we love people. And it's so easy to get caught up in life, to get distracted from our purpose, and to begin to believe that our purpose is to make a living. Our purpose is to provide for our family. Our purpose is to be comfortable. Our purpose is whatever the world tells us it ought to be. And God says, no, your purpose is to bring glory to me. Your purpose is to represent Jesus. Your purpose is to be a disciple making disciple. And as we do that in the midst of life, we do many of those other things. We provide for our family. We make a living. We live with some degree of comfort. It may not be comfort by the world standards, but it's a comfort in the contentment that Paul writes about and says produces this peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, when we live that way, when we live with an awareness of God's presence, with a direction from him, then it's something that never leaves. As Jesus wraps up the Great Commission in the end of Matthew's gospel, he says that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. That promise, that awareness, that what we do as we go is not something we do alone. And so today, as we go about life, I'm not sure where life will take you today. It may be 8, 9, 10 hours at a workplace. It may be a workplace that you are in close contact with others. It may be a workplace that you are by yourself for the vast majority of the time. It may be at home with your children. It may be at home with your spouse. It may be at home alone. It may be to the grocery store. It may be to a restaurant. It maybe anywhere. And the instruction of God is that we are taking Jesus with us, not simply something that we put in our pocket, not something that we throw in the truck and forget about, but he's such an integral part of our life that everywhere we go, he's seen, he's heard, he's visible. And we treat people better. We respond to unkindness with kindness. We show mercy when wrong is done against us. We patiently correct when necessary. We live different from that which are ways of the world. And we use words. It's been attributed to Saint Francis of Assisi, but the statement that says to preach the gospel always, if necessary, use words. I've also heard it attributed to Mother Teresa, but I suspect that somebody looked at what it meant to live the gospel and tried to condense it into a meaningful statement. But the truth is, words are necessary. But so is a godly life. Jesus says, how can they come? Or Jesus, the Bible says, Paul writes, and he says, how can they know unless someone goes and tells them? Someone uses words to explain the life that is lived in Christ. Peter says to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, but to do so with gentleness and respect, to be prepared everywhere that you go that your life is representing Jesus and your words are explaining what you're representing. When I was in elementary school, I was entered into the science fair number of different years and would be able to compete at regional levels. And I loved the projects. I loved the science part and the working on it and developing this presentation. The part I didn't like was having to explain it, to give an answer for what I was trying to prove, what I was trying to show. I wanted my work to stand on its own. I wanted my work to be enough. But that's not the way it worked. I had to explain to the judges the science behind my display, the reasoning behind what I was trying to prove, the results were there, but I still needed to share. And as we go about life today, our life ought to be such that we have something to talk about. And that everywhere we go, we share the message that the kingdom of God is near. Would you spend time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. You've called us to yourself. You've transformed us. You've changed us from the inside out. You continually change us because we are all still a work in progress. So God, today I pray that the work that you're doing in our life would be evident, not simply to us, but to those around us, those that observe, those that we interact with. And that we would be mindful everywhere that we go that we have a testimony of how you are at work in our life. We have a testimony about the nearness of your kingdom, a kingdom that we are now a part of through Jesus. And so, Father, as we consider where our steps will take us today, help us to see how we represent Jesus in each of those places. Even if our day does not take us out of our home, even if our day does not have us physically interacting with anyone face to face, may we discover ways to share the gospel of Jesus from wherever we are. Perhaps it's phone calls or note cards or text messages or emails or whatever it might look like. But when we do roam about this world, whether it's to our places of work, our places of entertainment, our places of rest and relaxation, our places of eating, may we view ourselves in every one of those places as a representative of Jesus, as one that is there to help people see, to help people know that there is hope, that your kingdom is near. Father, when those times hit us that we hesitate, that we are filled with fear, may we dig deeper into your presence within us, that we would recognize what Paul would write to Timothy and said, talk about not having this spirit of timidity, of fear, but a spirit of power and boldness. So God, today as we live life, may we use that spirit well, not in a harsh or condemning way, not in a way that is deliberately offensive, but in a way that boldly shares the love of Jesus, the transforming power of the cross. The message of the gospel. So God, today help us to be a disciple of Jesus that makes other disciples everywhere we go. And in doing so, may we lift up Jesus so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Tuesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.